I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Let's give away some Caps tickets as promised. Caller 10, 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair. You're going to see the Capitals January 13th. Montreal's in town, and it's a bobblehead night. Get yourself a Dylan Strome bobble when you walk into the building. For the complete Caps schedule and for tickets, go to thefandc.com/events.
We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Let's get the party started here on Grant and Danny. Just after 3 o'clock. Trae Young traded to the Wizards. Bobby Marks of ESPN, one of our favorite hoops analysts, joins us now, former NBA front office exec. Bobby, Young to D.C. for C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert. Your reaction to that deal last night was what?
Yeah, not surprised. I thought certainly when you started to see, you know, the tea leaves earlier in the week, and, you know, listen, it's no surprise that Atlanta and Trae were looking at trade scenarios. I think that was probably something that started this summer. You know, the market wasn't probably as great as they would have liked. The record is the record. When, you know, them playing better without him certainly probably plays into this and everything. And I think you look at it from Washington's perspective. I think it's more probably about next year and years after that than really the current, you know, situation right now. It's a team that's, you know, was projected to have a lot of money this summer here. If you figure that he's one of your main targets in the offseason, if he became a free agent, you know, might as well go out and try to get him now and not wait until July.
What does it do financially for them? Go into some of those machinations. I know that's not as exciting for a lot of basketball fans. They want to talk about balls going in the basket, et cetera. But sure. I think there's some pretty good upside here for Washington.
Oh, I agree. When you look at, we could play the cap space game and say they could have $100 million if they didn't do the trade and they got all this money. But when you look at, you know, free agency wise, it's most of the free agents are probably over 30. Trey's 27, so he fits that timeline a little bit better here. But I think financially here, I think there's a couple ways to look at it. Trey has a player option for next year. It's $49 million. He is extension eligible even with the trade right now. Basically, you would eliminate that player option, and you can extend him down. You can extend him up. You know, it doesn't mean that because he's making 49, it's going to come in at 49. So maybe it comes in at a little bit lower, and you got a compromise on the next deal. And I think at the worst case scenario, he opts in, you know, you're still probably looking at, you know, $40 to $50 million in cap space, and that includes your draft picks counting. So you still have a ton of flexibility. You still have most of these guys, on first round rookie contracts here. Nobody's up yet for an extension. I think the big question will be what happens with Chris at the deadline, who's was the second player on one of these big expiring contracts, as far as what they go out and do with him here. But yeah, I mean, you took an expiring CJ and turned him into a player that was under contract here. So it puts a little bit of a dent, but as I said, you're going to go out and spend that money anyway. And if Trey figures to be part of what you're trying to do, then it makes all the sense.
It sounds like, Bobby, you think there's a chance that he doesn't opt in for the $49 million next year?
That was out there, yeah.
That's real?
Yeah, I think if there is an opportunity where you can work out a deal on a long-term contract at a lower number, I think that's an opportunity that both sides should certainly look at.
You're saying the Wizards and him or any team?
No, the Wizards and him.
Yeah.
I don't listen. If Trae Young became a free agent, it's hard to get back that $50 million in free agency from, you know, whether it be Brooklyn or Utah or Chicago or I don't know, maybe one of the LA teams here. Like, that's, you know, the going rate is not $50 million for Trae Young in free agency here. So that's why I said, you know, can it come down lower? And then maybe it gives him some long-term security here. So I think that's certainly an option that that you would probably want to look at too.
So from a basketball perspective here, yeah, just kind of go into the fit. I mean, to me, the Wizards don't really have a traditional point guard. And this is one of the, you know, assist percentage leaders in NBA history, right behind John Stockton. How does it affect the development of guys that are already on the rise? You mentioned the Keshawn Georges, the Trey Johnsons, the Alex Sars, et cetera. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's a guy that on a bad night will give you 20 and 10. Certainly one of the better passing guards out there as far as setting his teammates up. I thought last year, he was there was stretches of games where he was really, really good. So I think he'll help. I mean, I think, as you said, when you have a player like that on the floor, and I think you saw it a little bit with certainly the last probably month here with CJ and some of the younger players here, when you're starting to win games and you have a guy that either can score or set up your teammates. The Orlando game the other night was probably, you know, example A as far as what can happen, what the good things can happen with this roster here. Then I do think it makes life a lot easier. Now, you have to have the right guys out there on the court defensively. I think that's certainly a priority. And we saw that, you know, with Atlanta as far as, you know, from struggled in a little bit here. So, but I do think, I think we talk about his defense a lot, but as I said, you have a guy that, you know, can give you 10, 11 assists per night and can try to help you win some games.
Bobby Marks of ESPN, Trae Young traded to the Wizards. You're listening to Grant and Danny here on The Fan. How do they go about shutting him down this season? And is that a lock? That pick's top eight protected.
We need it, Bobby.
Way more about that pick than I do Trae Young.
We need it.
I know. It's going to be fascinating here because, that's going to be interesting. It's, you know, especially in a day and age where it feels like the league has their antennas up more as far as guys, shutting down. If the season ended right now, you would be in really good position, right? You're 10-26. It would be you would be in the four hole, potentially could move up. I think it's going to be interesting where the other teams are. You know, Dallas, it's funny. Dallas is at 9 at 14-23. So, you know, listen, you don't want to go on we all want to win games, but you don't want to go on a stretch of games where you're going to wind up handing that pick over, which is top eight. Protected here. So I do think, you know, he's got a quad contusion right now. We'll see where he is with that. I do think there's a part of you where you're trying to integrate him in. And even if you're playing him, I don't think you have to play 30 to 35 minutes because you're basically going to try to see how he fits in with this group.
In terms of, again, you mentioned a contract between the two. That hadn't occurred to me, and I probably should have. I sort of viewed this as an upside play for everybody, where everyone's getting something out of it, you know, kind of a marriage of convenience where Young might try to, you know, kind of kickstart his career again. You know, I think he's done some in terms of deposits, Bobby, to increase his rep. I mean, I know there was kind of this pulse about him out there that he maybe wasn't everybody's favorite teammate, that he was always kind of separate. It was like everyone's getting together and Trae Young was sort of separate from that. Now I think he's kind of done some, you know, some work in that regard. But go into that, maybe the history, and maybe if it's not an extension, him kind of using this as a almost a second act launching point.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could look at it that way too, as far as whether it be this is kind of an audition, whether it be for the next 3 months, or if it's an audition for the next year and a half, as far as, you know, with that here. I think there's the familiarity where you have, you know, Travis Schlenk, who works in the Wizards front office, is the guy that drafted Trae in Atlanta. So I think you're looking at it from that perspective here. But I do think getting him under your roof for the, I call it kind of pre-free agency here, where you get a guy under your roof for 3 months or 4 months, and they, you know, you figure out, hey, this is what we want to do long-term, both sides. Then maybe we rip up that team option and our player option, and we look at doing something that makes sense for both sides.
Talking to a great NBA analyst. We love having him on with significant news breaks. Feels like about once a year or so. We're hitting up Bobby Marks about the Wizards.
Explain this to us.
And getting the details and the lowdown. Today, it's on the Trae Young trade. So the idea of an extension, I want to double-click on that.
Sure.
Danny just mentioned. A, does that mean you do think there is a path to him being the long-term point guard here with Trey Johnson at the two and Alex Saar and whatever the next iteration is? And then B, what would that extension actually look like numbers-wise?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, the rules have changed where it helps both the team and the player. In the past, if you had a player on a player option and you wanted to do an extension, you could only go off, you know, it couldn't be anything lower than that $49 million number for next year. You can now you have the ultimate flexibility as far as basically rewriting as far as whatever number you want to put in there, anywhere from $15 to $35 million here. I think, you know, the trade just happened. You know, is it going to be short-term, long-term? I think it's probably, if you're asking me right now, I think this is probably more of, if it works out, it's probably going to be something long-term. Now, the going rate, you know, with point guards out there, guy still in his prime here, you know, is he a max player? I think that gets thrown out a lot. What does your rest of your roster look like? Who's coming up for extensions? Who eventually do you have to pay? I think that's the beauty of, you know, that you have a lot of, as I said, a lot of guys on rookie contracts here. You got Corey's number just came off your books here. So is there a number that's, you know, is it 40 in that range? And I think, you know, a lot of it now is what's the percentage of the salary cap? As the salary cap goes, guys, you know, like a $50 million guy is like a $30 million guy, you know, like 10 years ago here. So I think that all has to be come into consideration here. And I don't think anybody's probably ready to jump in and get something done right away. But I do think that's a viable option for both sides to figure out.
Bobby, there was a time, it's not that long ago, as you mentioned, he's 27, where Trae Young was, I mean, lethal offensively. Unbelievable pick and roll player. Among the best penetrators in the league, you know, whether it was to score himself with that floater or creating for teammates, the rim runner, like you could just envision the Clint Capella 2.0 just getting dunk after dunk, not being able to check him. Is he the same guy? I feel like he's maybe a step slower, still good, but maybe not that lethal superstar on offense anymore. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, there was a time, I mean, we can go all the way back to we can go back to that New York series when, you know, he put basically the fear of God in Madison Square Garden, right? I mean, as far as what he was able to do, and here's a guy that's, you know, averaged 25 points in the playoffs, almost 30 games. Is he the same player that he was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago? Probably not. And I think that happens with everyone, but I still think, you know, his numbers are a little bit down. I mean, he's shooting 31% from three this year. Can he get himself back up to that 37 number? But I do think he's still a really, really good player in this league. I think who else is around him is important. You know, I think it's a little bit unfair saying, well, he's the reason why Atlanta's defense suffered, because I've watched some of these Hawks games when he hasn't played and they've given up 134 and 135 points without him on the floor. So I think that's a little bit of a scapegoat with that there. But I do think, as I said, it's a guy on a bad night. He's giving you 20 points.
Yeah, touch on that. That's what I was going to ask you about. And the great Bobby Marks with us here on G&D. Defensively, I know a lot of stars that are great on offense, don't play defense. I know Luka's not terribly interested in it, and teams will target him in the finals or whatever. But there's also a limit that a 165-pound undersized guard can have defensively. How big a deal is that? For me, it's worth it when my team is 27th in offensive rating. I'll take that trade-off. But going to him defensively.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, he's a smaller guard. I mean, that's the reality of it here. And I think we're in probably a little bit of a different generation here with I'm not saying every team has a 6'7", 6'8", Luka Doncic-sized, you know, guard that Trey is going to cover here. But I said, you know, that's probably the one thing I would be a little concerned now. But I do, as I said, I think if you have you know, who's on your roster, you know, whether it be Blau or Trey, guys that maybe can guard a little bit bigger guards here. I think that will help him a lot.
Bobby Marks, ESPN, the Wizards have traded for Trae Young. I made the case earlier, fact or fiction this, because you are way smarter than I am. I feel like the value of this player has subsided over the last few years because it's easier to score than ever. And so having this incredible scorer, albeit a point guard who can also get assists, like I just feel like everybody can score. Am I off?
Well, you need guys that can score. I mean, this is a scoring league, and I know when we get to the playoffs, defenses basically will win you games here.
But like in a world where Denny Avdia is averaging 25,
sure.
I guess my point is the gap between like a guy who can score a little bit and Trae Young is not as big as it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, that's a good point. But I do think, things have changed. I think how teams run their offense is a lot different. How, some teams don't have a traditional point guard, and maybe you're playing through, whether it be Denny in Portland or some of these other players, whether it be Michael Porter Jr. in Brooklyn, right, who's averaging 26 points but averaged 17 in Denver here, where your roles are different. The roster is different. The style of play, as I said, the style of play is different here. But I think when you're on a team with Washington with a lot of young players here, you're probably going to ask a lot more from Trae as far as based on what, different matchups and different nights bring to you.
Let's go into what his, new teammates will, what it'll kind of look like here maybe in a year or two, Bobby. In terms of Sarr, my mouth is watering at the idea of him playing with a legit point guard that could set him up in that way.
Yep.
Where do you see Sarr now and where could he go in a couple of years if this works?
It's funny. I've said this a bunch of times, and it's when we look at players going from year one to year two, or year two to year three, the one thing we don't have is a camera in the gym in the off season as far as what they're doing. So when you make the type of leap that Alex has and will continue to do so, and you have him under contract for another 2 years, basically he's below the average player's salary, which is pretty nice to have. I think he's only going to get better. I really like what I've seen in Trae Johnson so far. He is only going to get better. You still have a group of, whether it be Will Riley and Bilal, and, we'll see how with Trae Young, with Bub, as far as what his role is going to be. You'll hopefully keep your first, and you got another first, at the end of the first round, which is OKC's. You've got a lot of flexibility. And as I said, all you have to do is hit on a couple of these first round picks, and that sets you up a long way. I mean, look at Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte's not ready to compete for a top six, but they drafted Con Knipple, and he is one of the favorites for Rookie of the Year. And that is what gets you from winning 15, 16 games a year to a team that you can build a foundation, and then all of a sudden now you're in one of the top six teams in the Eastern Conference.
You just said hopefully they keep their first. There's no way they don't, right?
I mean,
just no way.
Like, that would be surprised.
That would be malpractice.
Yeah.
That's like a fireable thing, it feels like.
Yeah, that would be I would be surprised as far as, and they're not the only one. Listen, the Utah's right there. Their pick goes to OKC if it falls out of the top eight here. I think Brooklyn probably
OKC
wants to keep
needs
their
some
pick.
Guys. So
yeah,
that's
they need
good.
Some help.
Well, and it's crazy. OKC's got that Clipper pick too, which is unbelievable. So yeah, I think I do think there's a priority to retain that first. And I think they've got 26 losses. I think fourth most out of any team behind Indiana, New Orleans, and Sacramento.
Bobby, what would be the fine? Like game 82?
Well, here's what I'm thinking, though.
Listen, game 82, final possession, Wizards about to shoot for the win, Will Dawkins goes on the floor and tackles a guy, and the ball goes out of bounds. Like, what is the fine for Will Dawkins?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but we saw the Mavericks 2-3 years ago, basically rested Luka and Kyrie,
because
their pick would have gone to New York, fell, I think, out of the top 10. And they're actually competing for a play-in spot too. So that was equally worse, and they got fined $750,000. So the fine, what will probably happen, and if you're in the Wizards and you're a Wizards fan, you could care less, is there'll probably be some long-term ramifications how they go about addressing the tanking rules here, which hopefully you don't have to worry about in the future.
And tell Ted, I'll buy a couple more pretzels at Cap One Arena.
GoFundMe/CamBoozer, please.
Exactly. Bobby, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Okay, you got it. Take care.
Thanks,
excellent,
Bobby.
As always. Watch him on ESPN. Does such a good job breaking down the NBA.
So really interesting that he thinks this is more long-term. I that had not occurred to me. It probably should have, but that was his view on it, which I don't want to say I'm surprised, but that's interesting.
I would like it less. I'm fine with it regardless, as long as he doesn't play that much this year. I don't care about anything other than keeping a pick.
Yep.
And then starting next season, whatever happens with Trae Young happens. I happen to think he's bad enough defensively that he's not a player that gets you closer to winning a championship. But I like the player offensively, and he'd be the most exciting guy to go watch at Capital One Arena in years. I mean, there hasn't been an ass in seats player like him here in a long, long time. But everything is secondary to me other than just this season.
Yep.
Whatever happens after that, I can be okay with. Because next year is not tank year. You know, next year is not every win is
I kind of got some of my pieces here. Yeah, right.
Right. So, but Bobby Marks is just sharp. Love having him on. If you missed any part of that, grab the pod when we are done today. How concerned would you be about Jaden Daniels transitioning completely to a new offense with a guy like Mike McDaniels to run a Shanahan scheme, getting under center a bunch? Let's talk about that next on G&D.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Bobby Marks was great on the Trae Young deal. Grab that segment wherever you get your audio. We've got Joe Varden, who covers the NBA for The Athletic at 5, to talk about Trae Young to the Wiz. You'll hear more about that in the Beltway Blitz coming up at 4 as well in 30 minutes. Speaking of the 4 o'clock Blitz segment, we'll kick it off with a chance for somebody to win Caps tickets. That is 30 minutes out. Another chance for a pair of Caps tickets to a bobblehead game coming up later this month. So make sure you're listening to Grant and Danny. Mike McDaniel fired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. The thought was at the end of the season that he was safe, he was going to stick. And when we got to Wednesday night and there had been no news of his dismissal, certainly felt that way. Now, Mike McDaniel is available to interview for both head coaching and OC jobs. There are 8 openings. So there is some thought that he will get a head coaching op, but maybe he doesn't want one. We don't know. He might be cool just collecting money from the Dolphins, double-dipping as a coordinator, and waiting a year or two and working with one of his buddies like Robert Saleh, who's possibly going to be a head coach again, the DC of the 49ers, who's going to be interviewing with teams, or Dan Quinn here in DC. And we all know that people in DC have been long thinking about linking up with Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, we're doing shtick when they were like 3 in a million going, oh, can you imagine they just swap him with Cliff Kingsbury? Well, it's actually on the table now.
There's our OC.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Would you be nervous, and what is your level of confidence in Jaden's transition? This is not a question about would you not do it. Like, of course, you take your chances. But would you be concerned about what should typically happen in year one happening in a gotta-have-it year three for Jaden, where now all of a sudden with, you know, in a lot of ways, like the direction of his career on the line, now you're going under center. Now you're learning how to rework and reprogram your mechanics and the footwork. All the stuff we saw Caleb Williams have to do in a really painful offseason for him going into year two. Daniels has learned a lot of tricks and has got a lot of muscle memory through 2 years of NFL football that he's now going to have to erase in a new system, possibly. What would be your level of concern about that for Daniels?
It's a low level, but it registers. In other words, like if I'm going to pick a blind taste test challenge, the attributes that Jaden Daniels possesses, the work ethic, the aptitude, the I'm not here to go on a million dates and play Madden until 5 a.m. and show up bleary eyed. All the work traits, he has those things. He's got the VR, he's got the wherewithal, the desire. He's turned himself into this. You know, effort is a skill, just like anything else. Plus, you add in the athleticism, how natural a thrower he is of the football, his arm, his release. All the traits, I would go, blind taste test challenge, I'd pick him to pick up a system quicker than, 90-some, whatever, I haven't done all the math, percentage of quarterbacks out there that have to just start anew if they were in the same spot. But it also is a challenge. It's not easy. That's the other part about it is a lot of folks just want to cut to the end where they go, yeah, it'll be fine. It's hard. We may get there to your it's fine thing. All I want you to know is that this is a lot of effort. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of my point here is that this is a challenge. There are going to be non-linear moments of progress where there are failures, there are setbacks, there's I forgot that word meant that and I threw it to the wrong spot and it was a pick six. Bad stuff is going to happen. But again, progress isn't linear. So it's a level of concern, but it's not like, oh my God, he can't do it. This whole thing is doomed, right?
Yeah, I worry about it some, for sure. I do. It's not a low number in terms of like 1 to 10. I guess it'd be a 4 or 5. Just because of how much pressure and the narrative that's going to be on his early part of the year, which the team should not be concerned with or care about, and I don't, but it's so loud. The noise is so loud. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, incorrectly, in my opinion, this is not something I care about. But this is how the big picture narrative on Jaden Daniels is going to be spun going into the year. Year one, awesome. Everybody caught up to him and figured him out. Year two, bad. Year three, he's going to tell the story. And then a month into year three in this new offense, if there's some struggles and it's not great and he doesn't look like Jaden Daniels year one, you know what's going to be said. You know what that's going to sound and feel like if he's got 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and the offense has been...
And they're 1-3. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I'm pre-annoyed by that possibility, I guess, is my point. It doesn't matter. That noise doesn't dictate how I operate. And also, inevitably and eventually, Jaden Daniels has to make this transition. This is how you sustain and you win over a long time and you probably, in his case, stay healthier and just have a longevity of success in the National Football League. So no time like the present. Is it ideal for Dan Quinn that it's coming in his make it or break it year? No. Is it ideal for Jaden Daniels that year two went the way it did? Like, what would be a lot better for Daniels is if year two was maybe not as good as, but excellent as well, looked something like year one, and he was mostly healthy and played 15 pretty good games this past year, and now Cliff got a head coaching job, and you make that transition to a Shanahan-esque offense, and all of the deposits have been very positive.
Yep.
Instead of, you just took a bunch of withdrawals out last year. There's not a lot of money left, and now you got to go shopping. You know, I would like to be starting from having just gotten paid a couple times, which is not where we're starting from. So it should be something that people think about, but it should not make them hesitate, in my opinion, about this hiring if McDaniel is willing and interested and wants to come here.
Yeah, or any hiring for that matter, even if you are a bridesmaid to McDaniel and somebody else comes here that's a really good offensive mind, et cetera.
I mean, his offense puts a lot on quarterbacks. I was talking to somebody about this today. Like, it's not an easy offense as a QB. It is very complicated, and there's a lot of moving parts. Now, again, I think when you get up to speed, see Tua, like, there are some things that are going to help you to cook. You're going to be thrown to some open receivers. There's some cheat codes.
Guys with a running start, man. That's all
screens.
I want.
Absolutely. But I would not say it's an easy offense to operate as a quarterback.
So the way I'm going to view it because of this is, and I know most won't, I'm going to give an awful lot of grace to the first however many weeks of the season. I don't have a number yet. I'm not going to be like, okay, it's week 6. I must have excellent results now. I mean, you look at Bo Nix, for example, this year. I picked him at random, a guy that's the quarterback of the number one seed. Started off the year terribly. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks through a 2-1 start where they were plodding, pedestrian, the offense stunk. They won because of defense, et cetera, that he takes off, right? In 3 weeks.
That could have been any 2 games this year, by the way.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, week 4, he has a 4-touchdown game, and then off you go. He ends up having a nice season for a 14-3 team. So if we're 3 weeks in, and I got similar numbers for Jaden Daniels for the sake of argument, I am going to give a grace period. Again, I don't know when the cutoff is, but I'm going to be more forgiving for somebody that's already given me the deposits maybe than most. But you're 100% right, though, about the narratives and the noise that are going to be out there. I'll look like a ridiculous homer when they're 2-4 to start the year and, you know, he's not processing things great and it looks slow. I'm going, he's speaking a foreign language. This is all brand new. It will take time. And I think the results are going to be worth it. But even still, I'll be Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards, just with the army coming against me.
That's what's realistic because it's a really hard transition.
Yeah.
I guess it's also possible, and we could bring up to play devil's advocate, you get off to a rip-roaring fast start. McDaniel's the toast of the league. Everyone's talking about him as a head coaching candidate again. And Jaden Daniels is the driving force in a renaissance that saves Dan Quinn's bacon. Because you're, you know, 3-0 and you have the number one offense in the league through 3 weeks, and it's you're kicking it like Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle Dolphins a few years ago. Let's go to Anthony and Calvert on G&D. What's up, Anthony? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call, man. To get right to the point, I mean, I'm not worried at all. I mean, we're playing the long game. Everybody else is playing checkers, and Adam Peters is playing chess. I mean, let me be honest with you, and I normally don't do that. But, you know, we're not going to be stupid here. If Jaden Daniels can't handle the West Coast Shanahan zone blocking scheme offense, we've got the quarterback for it, which is why Sam Hartman didn't make the team this year. He's been stuck on the practice squad because they saw this coming. I mean, we're ready for it, man.
Bits. I knew he was going to doing a bit. He did a Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, when
reference.
I heard the Mike Shanahan, yes. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't normally do that.
Yes, that is a very specific Mike Shanahan zing. And that's when my antenna initially went up. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I don't normally do that.
Normally, I don't do that to you
peons. Which is what Mike Shanahan said one time, which is the funniest thing in the world. So he took me for a ride there, and there was a split second when he said the Sam Hartman thing when I almost reacted, and then I realized, no. That's just a worm on a hook.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bite. I'm going to lay here at the bottom of the water in this cool mud and not end up in a boat.
It cut to Tom Hardy in that movie going, that's bait. I'm not doing it.
I should shout out, though, while we're talking about callers saying wacky things to get a rise out of us. There was a dad and his kid that came up to me at the Caps game last night and said, morning, Wig. So thank you to them.
That's what they get.
I appreciate it.
They get that.
You know, we were brothers in arms watching the Caps lay an egg last night. Although we did get to see Ovi score a goal. Patented rocket a little further than the normal office. Dave and Tyson's, what's good?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey,
love
Dave.
The show.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, brother.
You know, I'm kind of petrified, not gonna lie, because it's not that I don't think he's capable, it's just that we've never really seen him do it. You know, even coming out of school, none of those he wasn't under center, and he's always been in a kind of less pro style kind of offense. So I think he's capable, but like you don't know. Just the way that kind of things have gone this year, there's just a little bit of apprehension. So we'll see. But
yeah, those nerves don't go away at the end of a season that went as bad as this one. If more change is coming, so I just think there's going to be some angst and some anxiety. Because as confident and sold as we all were, I say this all the time, if you said anything about Jaden Daniels all of last offseason going into the year other than he's going to be the MVP and Washington's a Super Bowl contender, you were called terrible things. You just weren't allowed to. Everyone was so sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what happens. The extremes are to the farthest end. Nobody's normal and reasonable on these things. So we were way too high. This year is going to be way too low. He can't stay healthy. They should trade him. You know, the first year was a fluke.
Right.
Like those are ridiculous things to say. That is as ridiculous as getting upset at someone for saying, you know, he might not win the MVP award this year. Those are equally as ridiculous. But the pendulum is swung in the other direction, and now there are some questions. You go back and you watch the tape of some of the games like Seattle and others, and you go, damn, this is not the same guy from last year. So there's some things he's going to have to prove. And now you're doing it in a new offense, having to learn on the fly. Tim in Riverdale, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year.
You too, buddy.
I'm not as worried. I think, you know, football players, they play football. And so I think whatever it is, he'll learn it. That's what film's for. That's what practice is for. Not really worried about that. But I do have a general question to you two. Do you think that if things went the way that it did this year, last year, and us, say, making the NFC Championship this year, if these coaching changes would have been an issue? Because normally when guys first come in, that first year is usually like the honeymoon phase and, you know, you're trying to get things together.
No, if you flip the two seasons, Joe Witt's still your DC and Kingsbury's still your OC because you're not making any changes after you get to the NFC title.
Well, unless Cliff is taking interviews this week, on his way to get another job.
That's a good point. I think Cliff would actually take a head coaching job, so you'd have a different OC. But if you're asking, would they be making changes? No chance.
Yeah, you're prepping for the Niners this week, as the 2 seed probably on your way to the NFC title game. Yeah, no way.
not the way it went for them, unfortunately. Year ahead of schedule, a little bit fluky as it turned out. I know we weren't allowed to say that a year ago. We weren't allowed to talk about luck. I don't know if we're allowed to now or not.
Maybe we're allowed to. I don't know. You have to check.
Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're giving away Caps tickets right at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Coming up in 15 minutes, your Beltway Blitz. And to kick off the Blitz at 4, we'll be giving away Caps tickets. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. I think you'll be surprised by this, Danny.
Oh.
Last night, I ate shrimp and grits, and I really liked grits.
Yeah!
Now, this is an item that I think if you would have just said, have you eaten grits, I probably would have said no. Based on the experience last night, I actually think I have before and didn't realize they were grits. I thought they were like buttery or weird-tasting potatoes or something, but I think I like grits.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You're a human being.
So, but aren't they supposed to be gross and a lot of people are turned off by them for some reason?
No, that's crazy.
Are you sure about that?
100%.
I feel like they're an unpopular item that has like is like a pejorative food to name.
Oh, no. Hundreds of millions of Southerners for it forever. It is a staple.
So that
the
was,
grit.
I was going to ask you, why are people so out on grits? Because to me...
Because I don't think anyone is.
It tastes like... A little bit of almost like a mashed potatoes with a different texture.
Yeah, so basically what the grit is, it's corn or hominy, which is like a cousin of corn. It's
hominy?
Meal. Yeah, hominy.
It's like when four people sing at the same time?
You're thinking of a hymn. A homily is like the preacher's up there telling you what for.
No, I think when like four people are singing at the exact same time in cadence.
That's a harmony.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different than, that's hominy. Not in the grits.
No.
Okay.
You get, it's a maize or a corn. I mean, it depends on where you are. But it's ground up.
It's not
up.
What the priest says for like 12 minutes?
No.
Okay.
No, it's specifically not that.
Got it.
And it's, you know, it's basically a blank slate. So when I was a kid eating grits, when my grandmother would make them, I would actually put a little jam in there with like butter and kind of mix it up. That was it. It had a little sweet. When I got older, my palate became more sophisticated, like happens to most grown-ups. It was butter, a little bit of salt, some pepper, but it can be the base. It is your stick to your ribs, comfort food, Southern style base in part of your cuisines as a side. So it takes the place of a potato.
Correct.
Or a mashed potato or something else, and it's a breakfast food.
So I think the transition was eased for me by cauliflower mashed potatoes. Because when we were being super healthy, and you and I always had to eat things that were healthy for us to lose a bunch of weight and keep a bunch of weight off.
Yeah, terrible versions of good foods.
Right. I became a big cauliflower mashed potatoes guy. And essentially, it was the texture that I needed, some taste that I needed of mashed potatoes, but it was cauliflower. And I would eat it with my steak or my chicken or whatever. And with enough meat, it was fine. But that, to me, was like the Eastern League AA buoy.
Your gateway drug.
To the grits last night, where I'm like, this is not a potato.
I can't believe you ate that, by the way.
So I didn't really know. What this is what I'm saying. The realization I've come to is, at the exact same place where I ate them last night, I think I ate them a few weeks ago not knowing it was grits, and I was like, these potatoes are weird. And I just ate them with meat, and I would like cut the steak or whatever the beef was,
sure.
Dip it into the little bowl there, and I'm like, God, this is a weird texture. Somebody's getting cute back. The chef's getting too cute with these potatoes. I didn't really know. And then I saw the sign last night, And there was shrimp dipped into them, and it was shrimp and grits. And yeah. I was like, did I eat grits before? And I ate them, and I'm like, not only is this what I think I had before, I think I'm in.
There's a whole world that just opened up to you. The Italians have polenta, which is like a grit, but it's like an Italian corn. It's the same kind of deal. It's like a cornmeal. You can have a cornmeal cake. Barbecue, Texas corn pudding, places like Hill Country, Rocklands Barbecue, delicious. It's cousin to the grit. You're welcome to the grit family.
I don't think I'm going to ever order things grit or grit adjacent. I think there will always be something else that's either more comfortable or obvious on the menu that is a safer play. I'm trying to land the ball in the fairway here most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think if I accidentally stumble into grits, I could eat them again.
Like if you're at a wedding and it's like we're serving shrimp and grits for the main, you would eat it.
That is a perfect example.
Yeah.
I think, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there were grits last year at the 106.7 The Fan Odyssey Christmas party. Because there were like these trays of food and I'm going down and I'm like, I need mashed potatoes so badly. There was like a salmon and there was a little bit.
It was actually a polenta, but it's similar
chicken.
To the grit.
Was it a polenta?
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is this? This has to be grits or whatever. And I ate it thinking it was potatoes. And it was the same kind of feeling of like, you tricked me. Shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was like pissed and going to fight someone, I'm like, these actually aren't.
It's actually not bad. Yeah.
Like, I am going to fight you, but these aren't terrible.
Right.
Like, why do we have to do this? Just get mashed potatoes. It can't be more expensive. Everyone should always want to eat mashed potatoes. They're better than anything else you're going to serve. But anyway, back to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been disappointed by them, and I think I will always eat them and enjoy them when they're there at like a wedding, let's say.
There you go. Yeah.
But I will never on a menu, like if I go on a breakfast spot, I'm not going to go, oh, the something in grits for breakfast. Isn't that a breakfast item?
Sure. Yeah. The grits is southern breakfast.
I just don't think I'll
Charleston, you go to New Orleans, you go to any of the low country spots. I'm telling you, the grit. The grit is a staple center. It is the best, Jerry, the best.
Let's go to Jake, who's in Bethesda on Grant and Danny. Hello, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to start off with Danny, and I am, first of all, I appreciate you being a patriot of the grit, but am disgusted by the jelly on the grit.
Listen, I was a child. I was a child, sir. You're besmirching me with a Redskins t-shirt and a bowl cut. I didn't know how to ride my bike yet. I didn't even have a Nintendo Entertainment System. I was a child. It was my gateway into the grits.
I will take that into consideration as to people do jelly and tuna fish. Or weird other things like
that's
that, as such. But, Grant, you have now unveiled yourself into such a delicious world.
Such a great world.
The grits are, again, such a blank veil as Danny availed you to. Cheese, my friend.
Cheesy grits.
Cheddar cheese.
Cheese in the grits.
Jalapenos.
Right in
I know that's a spicy thing. It's
no,
not a thing
no, no,
for
no.
You,
we won't be doing that.
You're going to lose them with jalapeno.
Try something with a little bit of cheddar cheese, Grant, and I promise you.
You know what would be silly, actually, Jake?
The cheese grit.
Cheddar cheese and bacon and grits.
They do that.
I mean, I
would
eat that.
You'll find that some people, shrimp and grits will include those very things.
Are you in the grit gang?
Yes.
Darius, are you in the grits gang?
I am not. I do not like grits.
Oh, for God's sakes, man!
I'm telling you, people hate grits.
No one hates grits!
Toby, are you in the grits gang with me and with Danny? We're going to walk around and just snap our fingers and tell people how much we like grits.
Let's do it, baby. I love grits.
Thank
grits
you. Gang. That's a person.
Clary, are you in the grits gang?
Eh, they're
oh
fine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Anthony, are you in the grits gang?
Hell yeah.
Let's
there
go.
There he is.
All right. Team Grits. Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's give away some Caps tickets next.